Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. And after a few weeks, we have Pastor Dan back on the podcast.
Yeah.
We miss you, Pastor Dan.
I miss you guys. It feels like forever for some reason.
Does.
I don't know why, but yeah.
Too long.
I always feel bad missing.
Well, you know why? Because not only was it a couple of weeks, but even the week that you were there, it was on a Sunday because the 100th episode.
That's what it was.
So it was even long. It was even longer from the recording.
Yeah, it spread it out.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, no. Well, you know what? Again, we talked about it in the 100th episode. We always appreciate you making the time. We know you have a lot to do, but you've made this a priority. And we are grateful, aren't we, Rock Life Podcast family?
well, I'm grateful for you all as well. So you guys are awesome.
Today, Pastor, actually, you know, we were kind of going through. Sometimes we have a topic or something in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe because you'd been gone, we were just like, hey, what's been going on? So the question I pose.
Hello.
The question I think that will edify
Ready
us
for
all.
It.
It's just kind of what are some musings or what's kind of going on in your world? What's on your mind? What's on your heart that, you know, I know that we'd benefit from just in terms of processes and thought processes. That's a fun word.
Processes.
I feel smart when I say processes.
Wow. Yeah. I'm like wanting to fact check you and go get on Google or something right now and find out how do you really say this?
Amuse me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man, lots of stuff's been going on. Obviously, being out and that sort of a thing, and been able to travel a little bit and see some different things, and you know, it's just awesome to be able to get out sometimes of the sphere that you're in. You know, some would call it the bubble, but you know, to go out and do different things. I'm grateful because God has just been doing some things in my family. My daughter, as the church knows, we've had her preached on some Sunday nights at the Rock, and she did young adults, and so we were able to come to young adults that night, hear her preached, and then hear her preach the same message on Sunday night and see her growth in those areas and that sort of thing. But we were getting ready to go to preach at Oasis Church.
Awesome.
Pastors Julian and Christina Lowe and the Oasis family out there in Los Angeles, just great people, great church. Funny because we went out there on, of course, it's the day that the time change happens. So it's like, you know, we're getting up at what is, you know, 5:30 a.m. our time, but really it's like 4:30 a.m., you know, your body time, your internal clock. And so we're all up early and out on the road early and get out there. And she did so amazing. It was wonderful to hear her preach, and she preached the message that she did February 1st at the Rock.
Okay, cool.
So to hear her preach it three more times, she had to cut it down for time. Yeah. But, you know, Pastor Julian, he's such a great leader, very prophetic and listening to the voice of God that he coached her through, like, hey, let's not be so into the clock.
Yeah.
Let's let God move in these areas, and gave her permission. And so to see her even grow within that, ministering the same message three times in a row, was great to see. It was impactful because there were some people that were there. I think one was in the second service, and Pastor Julian got up at the end of the service. He said, some of you guys need to stay for the third service, that God just did something in you, and you need to come. And they stayed.
Wow, that's
there were people that, there was a guy in the second row. He's like, yeah, I was just here the second service, but I need this.
Wow.
And so it was awesome just to see what God is doing. But, you know, for me, my daughter is one thing. Obviously, I'm a proud papa, and if I had buttons on my shirt, they would have been popping off that morning. But you know, just to see what God is doing in the body, to get outside of the Rock, which the Rock is great, but I recognize and realize that not every church is like the Rock, but to go and see what God is doing at another church and to see people just killing it. You know what I mean? Like just, they're just crushing it, you know? And they're in this historic church, which, you know, sacred spaces.
I
don't want them going to become like a pub or a bar or, you know, pizza place. I've been to churches that have been converted into pizza, and that it angers me that this was a holy place that people sacrificed and served and gave in order to build a house to worship God, and now we're selling pizza. You know, that grieves my heart. I'm sure it grieves God's heart. You know, and it feels like lost ground. You know, but to see they're in this historic building in Los Angeles, and that comes with its unique challenges. They're like, we can't change anything without approvals and a lot of money, you know, there's just a it's hard
red
doing
tape.
Anything, you know, and then of course it was built in like the 20s. It just turned like 100 years old.
Wow.
And so, you know, even just how people use spaces now versus how they did then. There's a lot of small chopped up rooms and they're like, we wish we had meeting spaces. We wish we had like a youth room or, you know, and so they're dealing with some of those things. But you know, even in all that, to see a sacred space, like I told Chloe, I said, man, you had that stained glass window up above the balcony behind you while you were preaching. She's, I was looking at it the whole time. And I was like, I would be distracted.
Because it's so beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, like these things, and you don't see those often in the modern American church. Mm-hmm. Like if you go to Europe, if you go to different places and you see some of these stained glass. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a bit of that,
right.
but not like this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just another level. Yeah. So to see that, I rejoice that here's ground that the enemy could have taken.
Yeah.
And yet it's still in the hands of God's people. Mm-hmm. And to see passionate people that are serving the Lord, to see a community that desires Los Angeles to be saved. I mean, their tagline is "Till all Los Angeles is saved." You know, it's like we're shouting, "The Inland Empire shall be saved." They're shouting, "Till all Los Angeles is saved." And it's like, you know, it's amazing just to see how God is moving in His church and raising up leaders and continuing the work. You know, they're second generation pastors, and so, and not that Philip and Holly Wagner weren't Julian's parents, but you know, the second generation in the church, in other words, that they've been handed the baton and now they're running forward as the second pastors of that church. Awesome, you know,
so cool,
awesome, and they're a bit older than we are. They're in their 43rd year or something like that. You know, so just to see God moving and having generations and churches. It blesses my heart, you know, it really does, to see what God is doing, because we can get discouraged when we hear reports of the decline of church, the rise of the nuns, like not the nuns in the Catholic Church, like the people N-O-N-E, have no, right. yeah. yeah, no affiliation of faith. They have no background, you know, and so in many ways, there's that post-Christian modernism and you know, we see that there's a drawing away and you know, there's a lot of mixture in the water right now. You know, a lot of pollution, a lot of things that when you take a look at society and all that, there's a lot of stuff going on. But to see what God is doing in the midst of all that is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's not just Oasis in the Rock. I mean, this is happening all over and things are taking place, you know, and I'm just excited.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready for God to pour out His Spirit. I'm ready for God to move in greater ways than we've seen already. I'm ready for the increase. You know, that's what our theme of the year is. You know, I'm looking for it, praying for it, believing for it.
So how do you handle that? And then how should we as believers, what should we do when we see these things going on? I mean, if your algorithm is anything Christian related, you'll see these different movements. You'll see these different reports. What's your response, and what can our response be? How do we, you know, let's put some Christian language, how we properly steward this news or what we're seeing? What can we do?
Well, I know there's a lot of news about, and it's a buzzword right now, revival.
Yeah.
Right? And there's been a lot of hints at that this is like another Jesus revolution. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that especially when it comes to certain areas and certain parts of the body, we're seeing tremendous growth. I mean, I was on the phone with a pastor in Hawaii who was telling me, man, we are in revival. Like our church, he says, we're seeing 100 salvations a weekend, every weekend.
That's awesome.
And I'm just like, bro, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, like amazing. Let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, this is awesome. And I think our first response would be that if we see somebody's highlight reel, because obviously we don't see the grind on the back end. Right. We don't see like, hey, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm studying, or you know, that we're far behind on the finances, and we're waiting. You know, we don't see all those things. We see 100 salvations a weekend. We see the full crowds, you know, and obviously camera angles. You could have parts of the room that are completely empty, but it looks packed because they took a picture from the back to the front, and all you see is hands raising. Like, wow, you know, and especially when we think about like the size of a room or of a building, we may not understand that, like, hey, that sanctuary seats 300, and so they've got 250 people in there. Of course, it looks packed, you know.
Yeah.
But another person who has a 500 seat sanctuary that has the same number of people is going, gosh, it's so empty in here, and they're killing it, and I'm not.
Yeah.
I think that our first response should always be that we rejoice with those who rejoice.
Yep.
We're all on the same team.
Yeah.
You know, that we celebrate the wins. Like, hey, I'm so glad they're killing it. You know, if you hear of revival in a church or, I mean, we've seen a lot in the colleges lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's been refreshing. Young people are passionate. Even Chloe, you know, she's the chaplain over discipleship at Vanguard currently. Yeah. Next year, I don't know if I can announce this. there's another thing opening up for her. That's an even greater work in the chaplaincy that she's going to be doing. And she's talking about the freshmen coming in, whereas when she was coming up and the people behind her, you know, the current sophomores, she was working hard, trying to get prayer meetings together, trying to get people to get involved and leaders and that sort of a thing. like this year, early in the year, they came in passionate.
Wow. Yeah.
They came in force and numbers. Mm-hmm. They came in ready to serve. I mean, she was like, it was easy to find group leaders, you know, because they were all standing there like, hey, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And she's like, you guys want to be a group leader? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
All so right.
Like they're deciding from their application. They're coming more. They're coming for that aspect.
Absolutely. Right. I think that, you know, and there seems to be an openness right now.
Yeah.
You know, there seems to be an openness to conversations. Mm-hmm. And openness to spiritual things.
Yeah.
Even what we've seen in the past, it's not the first time this has happened, but there's a resurgence of a desire for sacred and holy spaces and things. You know, there's certain people reporting that, you know, people are going back to liturgy. Mm-hmm. I have a friend in the ministry. His son chose to go to a more traditional church that does...
Explain that for us, Pastor Dan. Liturgy.
Liturgy... you know, the best way that I could explain it is it's a reciting mm-hmm. of, you know, it's either scripture or statements about God and the scriptures. And it's basically confessions or declarations, you know.
So in layman's, it kind of feels like religious acts, right? Rituals, religious rituals.
Yes.
I mean, not to be in a negative connotation.
So, yeah, for people maybe that have no context to this, they would go into one of these traditional churches and they would hear somebody from the front say, the Lord bless you. Yeah. And then the whole congregation says, the Lord bless you indeed, right? Yes. That would be liturgical mm-hmm. or liturgy in some senses, you know. And they might go, that was weird. Everybody was like a robot. And I mean, even our confession of faith when we have declared over our finances. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a young guy come in one time and I said, hey, what'd you think of the church service first time?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, everything was great except when everybody started reciting that finance thing, you know.
Yeah,
he's like, that was weird. It was almost like a bunch of robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so liturgy in some ways can feel like, well, I don't know what to say, but some people desire it because it makes them feel connected to others. Like we're all saying this together.
And
I wonder how much of the Bible when it says and all the people said in response, you know, I wonder how much of that was. Hey, everybody, let's declare, you know, and then they were like, whatever you tell, we'll do it. You know, like, I don't know.
Well, I've heard some of the feedback on that. It's just because. It's because it's ancient. It makes it feel you. It's not like some new thing that some got. So some people have. That's kind of been the feedback. Is I feel part of something that's been around, right? So some of these newer church things have been around for 500 years, 600 years, and you go, oh yeah, that's proven the test of time. So that's kind of like, well, I don't want some flash of the pan type thing. I don't want to be part of just a trend. So they. Kind of cling to some of these things.
Yeah.
But like you said, even some of that, at some point, it was the trend. It was the new thing.
Well, it was a new thing, yeah.
Because we don't see in scripture per se of everyone standing. Now, there were some things in the Jewish law that they did and reciting things.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, and I do know that people, especially maybe young people who have lived in a world of instability, are looking for consistency. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for stability. They're looking for a foundational truth. Mm-hmm. That they can anchor to and not have the shaking and the rumblings of this world. Yeah. And like you said, if it's been around for 500-600 years, if it's ancient, mm-hmm. if it's holy, right? Those are connected to stable things in a world that's shaking. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there is those things, and that's where we're seeing in many ways, you know, this resurgence and revival in many ways. Yeah. And I know some people would come and say, well, that's not a real revival. I saw some reports, and there's been some things about the numbers, right? They're lining them up with what happened in, you know, maybe the 1900s, even the Jesus Revolution. Right. They're saying, well, hey, we're not seeing this. And so, you know, the conclusion is, well, this is not a real revival. Mm-hmm. So let's... back off of that terminology. And I get that, you know, because we obviously don't want to call something what it's not, you know. Mm-hmm. It'd be like people saying, well, we had church, and it's like, you just did praise and worship in the park, and, you know, we're gathered together. But, you know, there's ambiguity in some senses that when believers are gathered, we are the church, and we're gathered together, but is that church, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It almost feels like,
where
do we draw lines?
Yeah.
Should we draw lines? And I think the same thing about revival. It's like, you know, if there is, you know, in the definition of the word, is it numerical or is it internal? Right? And in many ways, I think the internal is more important.
Right.
Right? I think there's a breath coming into the church right now.
Yeah.
And just people are taking in the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that there's ever been a time, you know, because there's been a lot of division over the years, especially over, like, the Holy Spirit. And I don't know that there's ever been a time that even conservative churches have been more open to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have been saying, hey, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we want his work in our churches.
Yeah.
Now, so that may not look like speaking in tongues and
The expressions might not look the same. But
yeah. But they're like, don't count us out.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think that's great. You know, I celebrate that because, you know, if the Holy Spirit's working in a church.
Yeah.
And they're open and love the Holy Spirit, then if those expressions did come out, I think they'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
because they know, like, oh, that has to be like that. We didn't plan for that.
And they'd have to say, like, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I understand there may be some that are like, don't do that. Yeah. You know, that's not how we do it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think more people would be like, yes, then no. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, that's great.
It just seems like there's an openness in this time, mm-hmm. whereas before it might have been more divided, more black and white,
right.
and polarized. I think now it's coming together as the body. And it's important that that's that way, because when you look at religious persecution worldwide, it's never been, and it continues to increase as time goes on, it's never been this bad. I mean, when you look at just Nigeria, Kenya, you look at some of these places where they're burning churches, burning pastors. Pastors are disappearing in China.
Yeah.
30 of them disappeared. 13 are still missing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the government knows where they're at. I can't say that definitively, but I mean, they're gone.
Yeah.
And so they're praying for their return.
I saw this clip yesterday. I was sharing with my Bible college class, and it wrecked me in the middle of the day. Just wrecked me. I saw this clip. It was of this church. It was at night, like in some obscure area in Nigeria. Mm. This church had gathered and they were worshiping. And just worshiping out loud. And in a part of Nigeria where they're literally coming into churches, into congregations, and killing everybody.
Yeah.
You know, this is intense, you know. And it wrecked me because I was like, what do they know? Like, what do they know?
Mm.
They must know something, because it's worth it to them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that they could be going to their, I mean, it sounds dark. And again, I didn't feel like a guilt, you know, like a, you know, like, oh, we don't have it hard enough. But it was just like a above it. Like, they know, I want that. I want what they have in terms of, even if it costs me my life, I'm going to worship. They must know that it's worth it.
Yeah.
I did, you know, that was the only thing that came to mind. What do they know?
Well, and I think on that point, you can tell that we don't know,
right.
by we, the American church,
yeah.
because of how many empty seats there are in sanctuaries.
Right.
Because how many people have not been told the good news.
Yeah.
Because we're dividing
yeah.
rather than uniting.
Well, the good news is so up in the air and obscure, you know, meaning it's, and I think this goes to the bigger problem that I know we're talking a lot of these stats and we geek out because we're pastors.
Yeah.
And they're maybe equivalent to someone's KPIs or to someone's, you know, reports that they get, you know, and this is kind of the world that we love and we serve in. But the reason why it's important to every Christian is because of this part right here,
right.
Of the part of what its truth says to us in our life as followers of Jesus, as believers, as people of the way, right, is we understand that, man, there's something that we need to know and have a conviction about.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Pastor, what does someone do with these kind of things? This, you know, this thought process that might otherwise kind of just get lost in terms of like, well, that's for the church, you know, like I come.
Yeah. Well, and I even think about, so, I mean, I know The Rock, mm-hmm. we're constantly trying to model as well as instill this passion and this heart in our people, mm-hmm. right? Oftentimes from the pulpit also, I'm not going to let you get away being quiet. You know, you need to participate. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't come to just be brain dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those things. And we're constantly urging people to get their head in the game.
Yeah.
To read their Bible on the daily themselves,
yep.
to pray and hear from God themselves, that we're equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Yeah. There may be people listening to this podcast, though, that your pastor, your church, your congregation doesn't look like that. And my thing is that's okay. Go in there to serve, right? Go in there and model the type of person that you think should be at that mm-hmm. church, right? Yeah. Submit yourself and love your pastor, pray for them,
mm-hmm.
Ask them, how can I help?
Yep.
How can I make your life easier, you mm-hmm. know? Because the Bible actually says that if we serve them, that it's a benefit to us. Mm-hmm. And that's a cool thought. Like, yeah. hey, I'm doing myself a favor
yeah.
by blessing the people that are leading me and that mm-hmm. have to give an account for my soul, right? And I think that those types of things, like, your pastor may be like, whoa, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, they realize they've got an ally, and now all of a sudden there's unity and agreement and now there's passion, and then it may be you and the pastor for a while, and then now all of a sudden here comes someone else. Well, hey, I want to serve, you know, and all of a sudden it starts catching on, like, wow, again, revival.
Be the answer to their prayers. They're praying, God, I want to do this. It's in me to do it, but I need some help. I need
some.
And then there it comes
and
along.
And so many people are ready to jump off and forsake the place. And I want to go to the place that I saw online that looks like revival's going on. And I want to be a part of that. Hey, if you want to be a part of that, be that. You know what I mean? I think that's the thing for all of us is be the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Be the passionate person. Yeah. Be the one. Be that, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know your pastor's praying for you.
Yeah.
I know that they want. I know that they desire it. I mean, so many pastors probably get up on Sunday morning and ask God for so much.
Yeah.
Ask God for the things that they're seeing online. Ask God for more people to come and passionate hearts and that people get a hold of the message. And I wonder how many on Monday morning get up and are so discouraged. You know? Because the devil comes to beat you up. Yeah. You know this. Right. After you preach, it's like you get walk off that platform and the devil's right there with a baseball bat ready to just tell you. You were so stupid. Why did you say that?
Yep.
You know, no one was listening. Did you see that guy yawn? In fact, so-and-so fell asleep on the third row and their mouth was open and you're bad for wanting to punch him in the throat. You know, like that the devil's there.
Yeah.
Trying to just accuse. And if he can get that shepherd to give up, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Yep. Right. It's the same principle all the way through. And the devil doesn't have a new playbook. It's the same playbook.
Yeah.
We're not unaware of his devices. Yeah. And so that's where, as believers, I say, man, model it, be it, let yourself experience revival so that you can go out and bring that revival to other people. And then we'll see that in the numbers.
So good.
Right?
Yep.
You know, because it's been this way for a long time. Most people, and I think you probably have a better stat that's more current, but most people would probably come to church if they were just invited.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we approach our Easter services, we were looking at, you know, we always encourage people to invite people. Obviously, you know, I think it's 90% of pastors say that Easter is their most highly attended service.
Yeah.
And, you know, we take Easter very seriously, not for the sake of, you know, we want to make it our highest, but because it's a day to celebrate what it represents, right? What this represents for us is something to celebrate. And so we encourage our congregation to go out and invite people, get them into the place to celebrate with us. And let's praise the day that represents the resurrection of our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't, I think you've mentioned this recently. Hey, Christmas is awesome because if he wasn't born, it's like, well, if he didn't die and raise again, then it would have just been another baby.
Right. Yeah. And our hope is futile. And that's, you know, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that.
Yep.
If there's no resurrection,
we're
to be most pitied among all people, because otherwise eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah. No, so with that in mind, we encourage people for this reason. And just some quick stats, I think, even of non-church. So there's the church people, and it's a high percentage of if people that are casual church attenders, you invite them kind of back to church, 60-some, almost 70%, they're going to come.
Yeah.
They're going to come back. Yeah, I know I need to go. Of non-church going people, 1 in 4.
Wow.
Right, you know, only 25%, but that's 1 in 4 of no church, no relation to church, that nun crowd you were talking about.
Yeah.
So, you know, just a quick idea. We have two Sunday morning services.
Right.
Each probably has roughly a thousand people. So some quick math. If each of those 1,000 people sitting in those each of those services invited 5 people, that's 5,000 people that got invited. That sounds like a lot, but that's each person only inviting 5, which is not hard to do.
Right.
Right. You work with 5 people. Your neighborhood has 5 people. You go to a drive-through and 5 times easily, right? A day sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's not difficult to think that you might come across 5 people.
Yeah.
So if 1,000 times 2 is 2,000 people invited, that's 10,000 people get invited. That's 2,500. Well, don't you know we have about 2,500 seats? That's a whole nother packed out service
Yeah.
that gets added on to Easter for inviting 5 people.
Right.
But so many Christians just don't invite. They just don't invite. And again, what we where we fall short, because an invite is like the lowest impact. We're not talking about pray a sinner's prayer with them. We're not even say preach the gospel. Although, hey, let's preach the gospel.
Let's do it.
But passing out a card and inviting somebody. Come on, you get shamelessly invited all kinds of places.
Oh my gosh.
People put stuff in your hand. People solicit all. You can tell somebody, hey, come to church on Easter. We made these beautiful, I mean, artistic looking cards.
It's gorgeous this year.
It's a beautiful card. Hand it to somebody and say, come to Easter at my church.
Yeah.
What are they going to say? I don't want that. Oh my gosh. You know?
Yeah, no, it's low hanging fruit. I think that's the thing is that, like, for instance, it's easy to repost.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start.
Yeah.
But like you said, take the challenge.
Yeah.
Five people. And my thing is name them.
Yeah.
And if you don't know their name, like barista at Starbucks or, you know, wherever you go.
Yeah.
I think that would be great to make a list of who am I believing God for. And we've done this thing this year is that we've got these beautiful crosses and colorful slips of paper, and we've been writing names, putting them on the cross and believing God for those things. I would encourage you guys, if you haven't yet done that, get five colorful slips of paper and put those names down and then attach them to the cross, and let's pray. And every time you see those crosses in the name of Jesus, they're going to come and they're going to get saved.
Yeah.
You know, and let's pray over them. Let's believe God for the people in our lives, because, you know, being a pastor, I don't get much interaction outside of the church group and people and our staff and that sort of a thing. But man, I'll tell you, I've been working on my barber for a long time, you know,
and so
every time I sit in the chair, I'm grateful that I get the conversations and grateful that he's comfortable talking to me about things. And we've had conversations about God and that sort of thing. And probably one of those ones that had a church background of some sort, you know, but I'm constantly, and you know, that's one of the things this year is that I'm really believing God for us, for the prodigals.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an important part that the lost sheep, you know, Jesus in his mission to the earth, the first people he came to were the lost sheep of Israel.
Yeah.
And I think that's near and dear to the heart of God because they're sons,
right?
The prodigal was a son.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the firstborn son. He didn't get the double inheritance. He wasn't the good one in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Father could have wrote him off and said, well, that's just my wayward son, and he's just a lost cause.
Yeah.
But when that prodigal left, I believe that the father's heart was broken. Yeah. That's why you find him pacing and looking.
Yeah. Well, my favorite part of that verse is, man, when he was a long way off.
Oof.
Yet when he was a long way off.
A long way off.
He ran to him. It's beautiful.
It's
because we think
God.
And you say this in the altar call, when I get my act together, when I do this, and God's saying, when you were yet a long way off.
He was having a conversation with himself a long way off about a lesser position in the family.
Yeah.
Not even in the family, in just the organization of the home. Like, I'll be a servant, and I'll tell my dad, I've sinned against you and God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about your worth.
Mm. Gosh, come on.
It's about your birth.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the cool things, our staff this year, starting at, it was the Lent mark.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Teresa has been leading it up every day, Monday through Friday, every work day at the office. There's been daily prayers going on.
Yeah.
And we're praying for the prodigals. Yesterday, we specifically prayed for our people. We prayed over their invites, the people that they're inviting.
Yeah.
That they would be emboldened to invite people. And
yeah.
So there's that equipping that's going on. Again, this is not just for our church growth. We're believing for the kingdom, because there will be some people who maybe come back to church, who come to this church, and it reminds them, and then they're going to go back to their family church or wherever.
Yeah.
But they're stepping foot, they're going to hear the gospel, and many upon many will come to know Jesus that
day.
And that's our belief. That's our prayer. And we're naming and proclaiming that God will, that there will be increase in the kingdom. And so that's the exciting part. I know these are some of your thoughts and things that have been going on, Pastor Dan. We always miss having you.
Yeah.
So it's a great delight.
I've missed it too, but this is great coming back, and I'm excited. You know?
No. And so, keep when you're seeing the world and doing some of these things again, I know we all benefit from expanding, seeing new things, and just hearing what God's doing.
Well, I'm here through May, and then Pastor Justin and I are going to take a trip for our 25th anniversary, even though our anniversary is not till July.
Yeah.
But, of course, here we go as parents again. Our daughter's going to a missions trip, and it just happens to land on our anniversary. So we'll be around after that. But, I'll be out for the little bit of time, but I'm sure I'll come back with some more musings.
Yeah. Well, and I've a sneak peek. on some upcoming episodes. I know I'm going to be on spring break here with my family shortly. I've arranged. I have a special guest. I lined up a special guest. I talked to Pastor Deborah.
Hey.
We're going to be talking about prayer. Okay. There's been comments about, hey, we would want love to hear about prayer. And so I...
Wonderful.
I was actually doing a prayer walk around the church, and I saw her car. And so I stopped by her office, and I was like, would you do a podcast and let's talk about prayer? She was like, I would love that. And then we talked for like 15, 20 minutes.
Of just course,
there,
yeah.
Like, no, he's like, oh my gosh, save all that.
Yeah, yeah. Write that down.
We're going to have to do a couple episodes and break it up. So
how fun.
And then I'm going to be gone. I got to get you and Pastor Jess on. And you know, again, we always have a good time.
Yeah.
No matter who's on, no matter who's talking, it's always about Jesus and what he's doing. So
yep.
We love you, Rock Life Podcast family. Like, share, comment, subscribe, tell somebody. God is good. We love you. Talk to you soon.